We are going to go into a new question in our larger catechism tonight. It is the number 131. Joshua, would you pass these out to anyone who needs this? Thank you. The larger catechism, number 131. We have been going through this fifth commandment for some time now, considering the duties of superiors and inferiors, and now we come to the duties of equals. Number 131, we will go through this one time, and we should be finished this evening's session. Number 131, what are the duties of equals? The duties of equals are to regard the dignity and worth of each other in giving honor to one before another, and to rejoice in each other's gifts and advancements as their own. All right. Thank you. Now I'm going to read tonight 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Here with the duties of equals, two men were born about 2 years apart. The one was of African descent. He was born in Virginia. The other man, from Caucasian roots, was born 2 years apart from him in New York City. One night, in the providence of God, they met on 42nd Street in New York City. The man from the South had just arrived by train. As he walked slowly along 42nd Street, headed toward his hotel, he was carrying two very heavy suitcases. The New Yorker saw the struggling man and hurriedly went to his aid. Since he was going in the same direction, he carried one of the heavy cases all the way into the hotel where the Southern man, Booker T. Washington, was staying. Overwhelmed with gratitude, Booker T. later said, "That was the first time I ever saw Theodore Roosevelt." Now, when the catechism refers to equality here, it's very important. The duties of equals are to regard the dignity and worth of each other. That's very important. The matter of equality has to do with our position. Our position in life. Two people can be equal in nature, but not in position. You think about that. Two people can be equal in nature, but not equal in position. A parent and a child are equal in nature, but not in position, because the parent is in a position of authority as a superior, and the child is in the position of an inferior under the authority of the parent. Our scripture we've read here from 1 Peter calls upon us to honor all men. And the question is, why do all men deserve honor? All men deserve honor. Because all men are made in the image of God. Genesis 1 in verse 26. God said in the council of the Holy Trinity, let us make man in our image. And we have learned in our studies of the shorter catechism that the image of God consists in righteousness, holiness, and righteousness, holiness, and dominion over the creatures. There's one other, isn't there? Isn't there a fourth thing? Knowledge. Thank you. Knowledge, righteousness, and holiness with dominion over the creature. God has so blessed man with that image. But how scarred and marred the image is by the fall of man. And yet, we still are all human beings, possessors of a rational, responsible, immortal nature. We will live, exist somewhere forever. Every human being is worth more than the whole universe of inanimate matter. Every human being is worth more than all of the irrational beings. Eternity looms large before every one of us, either with its pristine glory or its everlasting shame. So every human being has worth, is deserving of honor and respect, because of this inherent dignity of the image of God. The respect and honor with which we should treat every human being, even our enemies. The respect and honor that we should show all men, even our enemies, is due to them because the infinite Holy Spirit could choose to use our simple kindness to break the heart of the most hardened sinner and cause him to begin seeking the one who alone is our everlasting peace. How many hardened sinners were persecutors of God's people, and yet through the testimony even of dying martyrs and the kind Christian sympathetic words that the martyrs spoke, many of the hardened enemies were melted thereby through the power of the Holy Spirit. Honor, love, and respect for our fellow human beings is one of the chief sources of peace, security, liberty, and life in our society. It is the matter of honor and love and respect that is also that which maintains protection for so much of our property. Now, God himself has shown more respect to man than he has even to the higher race of angelic beings. You think about how God has shown honor, respect, and love toward us. At the fall of the human race, there was another fall that very well predated, obviously predated that fall, the fall of so many of the angelic host. A vast segment of the angelic host fell, but yet no plan of salvation or deliverance was devised for the fallen angels. But God reached down much lower to rescue puny human sinners. God himself was willing not to take the nature of angels. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. He took not on him the nature of angels, but rather human nature, the seed of Abraham. The Son took into eternal union with his divine nature, human nature. in eternal union, so that this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ, will never be separated, but remain God and man to all eternity. But our eternal God not only assumed our human nature, He humbled Himself in the most condescending way to suffer the worst possible agonies for our sakes by enduring the most horrible death through the atrocity of Roman crucifixion. There could have been many ways to die that would have been only painful for a moment and then done. But our Savior suffered those horrible hours of torture and then those awful hours on the cross. Well, our duty, you see here, toward equals, is that to regard the dignity and worth of each other in giving honor. Now, we are, secondly, to give honor to one before another. We are to put others before ourselves. Notice Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now that is certainly contrary to human nature. We are to exercise unselfishness and humility toward others. There's another verse here, a couple of verses in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That is a form of pride or self-exaltation. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let us esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Now we are to show preference to our equals by treating them as more important than ourselves. Wow, that's a pretty big assignment for even regenerated fallen sons of Adam. Because our fallen nature causes us rather to think ourselves to be the greatest, magnifying our own attainments while minimizing other people's attainments. We blame others very readily for their faults and failures, but we make very involved excuses for our own faults and failures. There is our human nature. This command is totally contrary to the nature in which we came into this world and that which still clings to us. We are to consider others and let them sense that we consider them to be more important than ourselves. This is the way we are to treat our equals. We must ever be praying to the Lord to give us more grace so that we will indeed prefer others to ourselves. As I was preaching this morning, you remember me saying, it's much easier to judge others. It's much easier to put others down, thereby pushing ourselves up a little. We can do that subconsciously just by putting others down. Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, and we talk about the troubles in our nation and the troubles in the 21st century church at large, and we can whine about these things, but oh, how things are that is in a very real sense, it is our putting ourselves in a position where we are surveying, and all of this is down here, but we're up here. I'm not a part of this. It's not my fault. I'm really a pretty good person. But the world is in a mess. The church is in a mess. But the world needs to be like me. And the church needs to be like me. And that's what so much of this negativism and that's just talking about, oh, times are, things are bad. Yeah, they are bad. But what we are to be doing is to be actively endeavoring to cause things to be lifted up rather than just sitting in our ivory tower and criticizing. We must ever be praying to the Lord to give us more grace so that we will rejoice in the blessing and the advancement of our equals. That is the third thing that is listed here. We are not only to highly regard the dignity and worth of others. We are not only to give honor to them ahead of ourselves. But lastly, we are to rejoice in others' gifts and advancement, as though it were our own. You know the scripture. We've gone through it in Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. We are really to enter into that empathy and that sympathy with others who are our equals, and really to weep for those who are weeping, and to really rejoice. Rejoice when others are rejoicing. Rejoice with them. And now you know that if we do not truly rejoice in God's goodness to our equals, that we will succumb to the green-eyed monster envy. If we don't truly rejoice, then that old creepy, ugly thing is going to get all over us. And instead of truly rejoicing at their advancement, at God's gifts and God's blessings to them, we will become envious. Proverbs 27, verse 4, wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Envy is an ugly thing. And so we certainly need to rejoice in the blessing that others receive. Oh, may God give us love and respect and honor for our equals. We need to have the self-sacrificing love of Christ for our equals. I've shared with you before about the little 7-year-old boy who was playing outside in the city of Weisler, Germany, with his little 4-year-old sister. As they were enjoying playing in the yard, they heard the shouts of men. And as the older brother looked up, he saw those men chasing a dog that was obviously a mad dog, a dog with rabies. The dog was running straight toward that little boy and little girl. So what did the brother do? There wasn't time to run in the house for them both to get away. So he stood up there, took his coat off, and he wrapped his coat around his arm. And as that dog lunged for him, he gave that dog that arm that was thickly padded with his coat. And while the dog was chewing and biting and worrying that arm, the men caught up, and with their clubs, they beat the dog to death. And one of them said to the boy, "You should have run." He said, "Well, if I had run, the dog would have got my little sister." and oh, what love he had for his equal. He showed that proper respect and the care for the dignity and the worth of his little sister. Well, we will read this one last time. What are the duties of equals? The duties of equals are to regard the dignity and worth of each other in giving honor before another, and to rejoice in each other's gifts and advancement as their own. Well, I trust that the Lord will bless this little lesson that we've had. I thought it would be a longer lesson than it is. I think that recently we had a very long one, and then now we have one that's rather short. Are there any questions or comments about equals? We will be looking later in number 132 at the sins of equals, and that will get us nearly through the fifth commandment. One other question after that. Yes, Ernie.
I just think it's important that even where you, it's a good distinction that you made about that recognizing even where there are distinctions of superior and inferior in terms of position, that there's still equality in terms of a common humanity. Because I think that's a very important thing to remember when it comes to how we treat people who are under our authority. I think people, sometimes the temptation is that we forget that commonality, and it leads people to treat people based upon whether they're born poor or without certain maybe academic gifts. And I think it's so important to remember that ultimately we share a common humanity. That's a good
point.
Yes. I really appreciated that.
Yeah. I think that's very evident in what is being given in this answer, that no matter what economic level a person would be, simply the fact that they're made in the image of God makes them equal with other human beings made in the image of God. And the distinction of superiors, there we do indeed have the same human nature, and in that sense we are we're equals in the image of God, but yet there is a superiority of position and authority that God gives those who are over us. And then he blesses us with children and grandchildren that are our equals in nature, and yet are our inferiors as far as authority goes, and they are to learn submission. And the whole idea of socialism is a leveling of society. And there were those who wanted to do that after the monarchy in the time when our Confession of Faith was written. And there were those in England known as levelers who wanted everybody to be the same. And it was something of that spirit that ended up bringing about the French Revolution 100 years later. But God is the one who has ordained superiors, inferiors, and equals. It is God's program. It is his will, and it is his word. And so I trust the Lord will bless us tonight.